Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture from the But Why Though writing staff. I'm your host, Alex, joined this week by Kate.
Hi.
And Matt.
Hello.
This week, we are talking about sharing and recommending media and what we actually mean when we say, I'll add it to the list, because I don't think that's what we mean when we say it. But before we get into that, what have you guys been enjoying this week?
I feel like I've had like quite a bit of things to enjoy, but like the very quick shout out is Mo season 2 on Netflix. It is the most Texas show in existence, and it's also a really important story about Palestinian resiliency that I think anybody who is currently going through stuff in the current waves, hands everywhere, fire, you will feel something when you watch it. It's very good. But I think the thing that I do want to shout out most heavily is to tell everybody listening to this right now to stop what they're doing, except for listening to this, and go add South of Midnight to your wish list on Xbox or Steam or wherever you're going to play. It is an adventure game that is set in the Deep South. It turned out to be very much what I was hoping it would be, which is picking up the literary legacy of Southern Gothic, Southern Gothic storytelling. It is very hard right now to have anybody showcasing the South as anything other than, you know, backwards banjo playing Republican voting. And I think that there is a whole swath of the South that has continuously inspired the works of people like Tennessee Williams, William Faulkner, Toni Morrison, Cassie Lennon, who did Eve's Bayou. There are so many stories out there, and I think that it is an under-tapped piece of folklore and inspiration right now. South of Midnight corrects that, and it does it very well. The Southern isms, is I will call them, are really spot on, and the game is really beautiful with this stop-motion animation feel. My preview of the game, where you can hear my detailed analysis, is over on butwhytho.net. I had a lot of fun with it, and it comes out in April. So yeah, put on your wish list.
I actually haven't been doing anything, to be honest. I could not tell you the last thing I watched or played since the last time I record, to be honest. I think I've just been working and doing other stuff, to be honest.
That's fair.
I guess by the time this releases, I would say, I guess I do want to check out Avowed. I believe it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, but Obsidian's new RPG. But yeah, I thought about this while Kate was talking for a while there, and I was like, you keep going, Kate, because I don't think I got anything right now.
Every week I have like a little panic where I'm like, what have I been watching or playing or whatever that I want to talk about? I think for me this week, there's an album that I want to talk about, and actually, yeah, that's just it. So it's coming up on its 10th birthday. This is not a new album, but it was one that I just decided to listen to, which is the Mountain Goats album Beat the Champ from 2015. Do you know this one, Kate?
Mm-mm. I learned so many new music groups whenever you give us your recs.
I appreciate that. So the Mountain Goats have been around since like the 90s. They have like 20-something albums. Beat the Champ is a concept album. It is folk rock, and it is about pro wrestling. And it is like very interesting in how it lays it out. There's like a lot of songs from the perspective of wrestlers. There's a song called The Legend of Chavo Guerrero. And
it's just about Chavo. Yes. No, I do know the Mountain Goats.
Yeah. So there. Yeah, that song is from an album that is just about pro wrestling. There's a song on there called Werewolf Gimmick about just like going berserk in the ring and then getting told off backstage because you went too hard. And obviously all of this is also layered with metaphor about like difficult things in life and death and all this other stuff, but it's like folk rock concept album about pro wrestling. I am absolutely in for this.
Fascinating.
I have no idea what kind of music you necessarily listen to, so I don't know that you would enjoy it, but I had a good time with it. And from last week I finished Last One Laughing. It's 6 episodes. It's not hard to finish. And it was genuinely very good watching comedians raise money for charity by trying to not laugh.
Who won?
Colin Mochrie.
I don't know who that man is.
The bald guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, I like him. Good on
him. It was him and Tom Green at the end. And as a last-ditch gambit to see what's going to happen, there's like less than an hour on the clock, and Tom Green just goes, let's do shots. And they go over to the bar and they both, I think over the course of that hour, they both do like 4 or 5 shots to like try to loosen the other one up into screwing up. It's good. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
It sounds beautiful.
Thank you for those recommendations. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at OmaMithrandir on Twitter, or not on Twitter. Yeah, I'm there. I don't really use it, but Blue Sky. You can find me on Blue Sky. That's where I'm spending most of my time. I am also on Instagram, but I think Blue Sky is probably the best. Instagram is just like, it's either funny images of my dog being carried to bed in one arm by my husband, Matt, who's on this podcast, or like me taking a picture of something depressing and posting it. So Blue Sky's better. I'm funny there.
Yeah, it's fair. What about you, Matt?
I guess technically I'm on Blue Sky. You can find me there.
No username, no hands. Just find Matt on Blue Sky.
There you go. To be fair, you probably could type my name in. I think I had my name in default.
Yeah, that's fair. You can also find me on Blue Sky and most always Alex. I am nowhere else. Come find me. Come talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, on to the main event. I'll add it to my list. Is this a phrase? You guys have used this phrase, I'm assuming.
So much. Too much, probably.
Have you ever meant it?
Yes, I have.
No.
I have never.
Okay, so Matt, tell me about that. So when I looked up the phrase, I'll add it to my list, it pulled up an Urban Dictionary entry that was like, you say this to placate people, you don't actually mean it, or you usually don't mean it. You usually have no interest in what they're talking about.
I have no interest 99.9% of the time.
Okay. Is that just that you trust like your taste and your algorithm, or is it more like I don't trust other people's taste?
Yes.
Yeah, I can respect that. That's confident. I feel like there's I'll add it to my list, and then the follow-up, which is where is it streaming, which usually I feel like people ask that maybe out of a genuine I want to track this down, but also out of like a maybe it's on something that I don't have and I don't have to say that I'll add it to the list. It's something that I've said, I know that I've just been like, I'll add it to the list, sometimes with good intentions, sometimes with bad intentions. I also at one point tried to be like, well, what if I like actually write it down and have a physical list? Didn't help at all. It was actually maybe easier to ignore a physical list than like my list on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Other than Netflix, like never keeping my list at the top, which also makes it easy to ignore.
I don't even watch people's videos. If you send me a video, I'm probably not even going to watch it. And you want me to go watch an entire show? Not going to happen.
As the wife of this crazy man, it has been interesting to like, I have learned that if I want Matt to watch something, I need to not tell him to watch it. And I need to maybe hope he sees it in passing when I know that he likes it, or I catch him when he's like in the I'm going to watch nothing but action movies for a week straight, in which I can give recommendations. Other than that, it's going to get just, I mean, I will say, not even just like you, but like talking to people who are very assured in their tastes, I think does help like save everybody time, because like I won't go make a bunch of recommendations. I love making recommendations, but I think when somebody's like Matt, you kind of just have to like, I respect the forwardness. It's kind of like I'm not going to disrespect you by lying to you saying that I'm going to take your interest in here. I'm just not. Good day. I appreciate it. Yeah. Which means when he does take one, it's like, oh, you really are interested in that.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's the other thing is like when you're recommending something to someone, I feel like sometimes it's informed on like, well, I know that you liked this movie, so you should watch this one. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know why that person liked a movie, then it might not land at all. Like you have to know the connecting threads to make a good recommendation.
Yeah. I think that that's like where it branches off. Cause like for me, I say I'll add it to my list quite a bit. Fun fact for video games, one of the metrics that independent publishers use when they're working with publishers or independent developers use when working with publishers is how many times they're wishlist on Steam. So if you do actually want to add something to your list and have an impact, wishlist it on Steam. However, I would say I mean it 75% of the time if we have been in an active conversation in which you have recommended me things. I also think that I have been brainwashed by Southern kindness to not tell you that what I think you're talking about is terrible, or I have already watched it and I think it's terrible.
That's I have a wish list. It has about 5 things. I have done all of those on my own.
Oh, you found all those games on your own?
Yes. And I don't even know. And even then I look at them and I still don't even buy them. I think I've actually only bought one thing off my wish list before.
So, Matt, what is your discovery process if it's not taking recommendations from people?
I actually don't know, to be completely honest. Sometimes, you know what? I will go with the algorithm. I will say back in the day, now we're sounding old here. Back in the day, you know, when they first introduced algorithms and everything, I think we were on a few other episodes. I was the person who starred everything, and I still do to this day. If I like it, if a 4-star, good like it,
oh,
don't
yeah,
like
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
And yeah, so I've been doing that for a lot of my streaming services for about a decade now. So they pretty much know. Kate came into the picture and kind of ruined a lot of that for a while there, and I had to, like, adjust things. But no, I think I've just gone with that, and I don't know. Sometimes I just get bored and I scroll and I look for a few particular things that I feel like need to hit this checkbox for me, and then I go with it.
We're like, I want a game. I want to play a city builder. Let's see what's out there.
Basically, I'll say I want to play this type of game, and I'm looking for these 4 checkboxes, and I'll see. And then, can I buy it? Can I not buy it? And whatnot else. I'm not gonna say I've never taken recommendations, obviously, because I'm never whatever. But I usually don't. Most people tell me to do stuff. I'll say I'll add to my list. I have no list. I think in the last few years, I've straight up just said I don't have a list, and I'm just not gonna play that. Or watch that, to be honest.
That's fair. I mean, I think part of it, I like all of these answers for me, I think vary based on what is the media being recommended.
Yes.
Like someone telling me a movie, I'll probably like at least add it or try to remember it. Recommending a game, I'm like, well, is this like a 2-hour game? Is this a 40-hour game? Cause like you asking for 40 hours of my time is a lot. That's a work week. I know how much I make for that.
Yeah. I think it's also been, at least for me, I have a very particular taste a lot of times when it does come to either my games or movies. And I think there are very, very few people who actually understand what I do like, to be honest. And I think when it comes to recommendations, which I'm sure we might get into to do it, I think people recommend what they like, which is great. And I'm glad you like it. Yeah. There's probably a good possibility I don't like what you like.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing, is making a good recommendation is about knowing the person more than knowing the media. But we'll get to that. That'll be later.
Yeah.
I did want to ask, do you, and Matt, I feel like this might be what you've done. If you get a recommendation, do you ever just like research it to see if that person is right? Or do you just like, no?
If they can give me a decent hook, maybe I will. But probably 9 out of 10 times, I probably just forget what they even said. I know people are listening to this going, I'm never talking to you again. Like, oh, well, I'm sorry.
Recommendations are a personal thing. So I get where you're coming from of like,
and
you
also
don't
to be
know
fair,
I
don't watch certain platforms.
Oh, okay.
And like, so if you recommend something.
That was boycotting Disney before it was cool.
Yeah, I was boycotting Disney before it was cool. I can't remember the last thing I've actually done. I've never owned Disney Plus. I liked Hulu. I don't watch Hulu once they introduced ads again. And I don't care that you can pay for more ads. I don't Hulu.
Matt is an analog man living in a digital world. And that's what we can take away from this.
There are things that clearly, I mean, I might watch a Who every now and then, like if I get stuck or do something else or happen to be there, but I'm not going out of my way for these things.
I might.
If you tell me something's on Hulu, I'm not going out of my way. If magically Hulu appears in front of me, maybe, you know, I'll check it out if I have something I really care for. If
he
not,
will stand and dad watch if he's interested, but he doesn't ask
the
platform.
Oh, the arms
or
folded behind the couch?
Yes.
I can respect that. But no, I think that makes sense of like, if you just don't watch certain platforms, don't have subscriptions, don't want to like sign up for the 1-week trial and try to blast through a TV show and then remember to cancel, like, there's just a lot of weird hurdles that can come up.
I think like the other thing that sucks for me, and I think like this is like very indicative of being a critic, is that it is rare now for somebody to recommend me something that I have not already watched, or that I have made a conscious decision to avoid until awards season. And I think that that's probably like my bigger thing, because like I think the recommendations are very important and I love giving them to people. I come off like an asshole a lot of the times when people try to talk to me about something, because I've already seen it and I've already processed it and like opposite of Matt watches nothing. I watch everything.
That's honestly, that's how I was with horror for a while when I was watching a lot more of that, where people would try to recommend horror movies to me and I'm like, I've seen it and its sequel. Like, I have seen, you know, every movie in that franchise, or I watched that last year when it was in theaters. Like, I know that you're just now getting to it because it's on streaming. But I've been in that spot of just like, I'm maybe too studied on this and it's making it difficult to have normal conversations about it.
And I think for me, just kind of like, as we get to like, you talk about the recommendations and not liking, you feel bad. I've also got to the point where if you keep trying to recommend me things, usually I have like a 1-2-3 rule, maybe a 2 at this point, depending on who you are and what it is, of I will just actively choose not to ever engage in that property. And then sometimes I will actively just make sure to tell you how much I hate that property and it's bad. And you should feel bad for liking it.
I know.
And I don't actually ever care.
I know deep in my soul that after a decade with Matt, he would really love Castlevania.
But he's not
going to
watch
Kate,
it.
In 2017, 3 years into the relationship, decided to keep telling him that he should watch Castlevania. And also, Castlevania played at Rooster Teeth after RTX's badge distribution was so bad we waited in line for 8-9 hours. Matt decided then and there that he would not watch Castlevania. And that's a burden I have to live with on my soul, that my very favorite American animation will never be watched by Matt.
No, because I had to sit there for 9 hours because they didn't know how to do badge pickup.
This is where we get, though, into the whole thing of, like, recommendations are personal, because it's personal for you, too. You're like, I love this. I want you to watch it and love it with me. And you said that one too many times, and now Matt's like, never.
Nope. And I think, like, the other thing, too, is where Matt has, like, the 1-2-3, don't tell me what to watch. I have a 1-2-3, I did not like what you told me. Like, I have followed through and watched your recommendation, and upon watch, sometimes it's the first one. Sometimes it's the first time somebody has told me to watch something because it is so egregiously against what I like as a person, where it's like, I have decided to never trust you again. And then I will add it to the list.
That's fair. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Of like, part of it too is credibility.
Yes, it's why it's okay. Like, so when we talk about why we recommend things and the process of doing it, one of my favorite things to write at the site are recommendation lists, because I love pairing movies together. There's this old anime list that I did a long time ago that was like, if you like horror, you will like anime based on these anime. And I put different anime next to a horror movie that I thought that somebody would like. So like Speed Grapher, Hostel, Another, Final Destination. Like, I pulled it all together that way. I love doing that. And like, I think whenever somebody says, I need X to watch, give me a recommendation, my first question is, can you tell me what you like? Because I think that like, it means a lot to me to try and get it right. Because I also understand, especially because I often recommend international things, if you give somebody the wrong international title, you are not just souring them on that director or that movie. You could sour them on the entirety of cinema history that comes from that country.
Absolutely. It's such a huge risk. And so, yeah, I think threading the needle definitely has an appeal. Making those recommendations of, you like this, because of this, here's the adjacent thing. Because I think also that can be, at least for me, that's where you pull off, like, for lack of a better word, stunts, where like a movie is like related in such a weird way that it's like, you're right, but I don't know how you got there. And those are the really impressive recommendations.
Yes. Like that. Like,
but there's also the risk of souring someone on an entire genre.
Exactly.
That's why I don't watch anime. It's fine.
Yeah.
You don't watch any anime, Matt?
No.
Matt, I'm going to recommend some anime to you.
It's not going to work.
It has happened. He is too deep in not liking it. Like, we went to a party with, like, his friends he's been friends with for, like, 2 decades. And all of them had turned into weebs. I was thriving. Somebody had a Luffy phone case. I was talking. Yeah. And they were like, oh, Matt, you like anime? And I was like, no, he doesn't. And everybody was astonished that this grown man is not like other grown men his age. And liking anime.
Matt, this can be your weeb era.
No, it cannot.
I believe in you.
To his credit, the times in which he has walked into my office where I am watching anime, it was Devilman Crybaby, the orgy scene in episode 1 of the 2018 remake on Netflix, and then Food Wars, and then okay. Beastars. So, not the best.
There's a picture coming into focus. Yeah.
And every time I like run out, like, no, that's not what this is like. You're, and I he's like, no, God, it's good. Porn.
You walked in at the wrong time.
Then she took me to go see that weird movie last year. I finally Susie caved. May.
No, not, you know, not, okay, not you watch, not you watch Chair. You did Chair watch Chair, fine. Which is what we call
Chair
Suzume.
Was fine.
He was his introduction.
No, the other one that was bad, that
was
over.
The Boy
yeah.
and the Heron.
Yeah,
oh,
the Boy
that's
and
a
the
bad
Heron.
Introduction.
Most, that was a terrible movie. It was boring and dumb, and I had to listen to everybody tell me this was a masterpiece. And I was like, you know what?
I'm never not us.
Clearly, you all do not know what you're talking about, and clearly, if this is what y'all think is good, I just don't want any of it.
Okay, look, us, like me and the friend who went to go watch it with. Shout out if you're listening to this, you're probably not. We said that it was not the best Miyazaki, and it was very mid. Online,
the only thing I
learned
out of that movie is you make sure to marry somebody that they have a younger, hotter twin to where if they die, you can go marry the sister. That's the only thing I got from that movie.
I don't think that
so
was the point of the
younger,
point of the
hotter
Heron.
Twin or younger, hotter sibling, like a recommendation. Like, you liked this.
That's the only thing I got out of that movie.
That was Miyazaki's.
Every time
purpose.
I try to ask you, explain what that movie was about, and they're like,
"Keep it in the family."
Vibes, and I'm like, "I don't know what you mean, man."
Keep also, it in the family and weird Robert Pattinson voice, The Boy and the Heron, 2023.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since I saw it in theaters, and now I'm like trying to remember anything about it. And yeah,
well, it's all you
anyway.
Remember, isn't it?
I would never recommend
so Matt doesn't...
that to anybody.
Well, I especially wouldn't recommend it to someone who wants to get into Miyazaki movies as like,
yeah.
This is the jumping off point.
So what happens in Matt? No, Matt's seen 3 anime. He's seen Chair, Suzume, for
okay.
those who don't know what Chair is. Boy and the Heron. And he watched The War of the Rohirrim, which he did like War of the Rohirrim. But that's
that
Lord of the
Lord
Rings,
of Rings,
so I don't
thing,
know if that
a,
counts.
That's
true, because, yeah, that is a not an anime story.
That is a Lord of the Rings story.
Okay, no. Okay, this is probably going to get cut. If you all hear
is
this in your car as you're
story?
Listening to us, it is an anime-ass story. So,
nobody
like,
cares.
Okay, no.
Don't
cut
this, Jason. Keep
it in, Kate.
The
War of the Rohirrim deals with Hera, the daughter who has never been mentioned. Like, she's been mentioned. She has no name in the appendices. Like, this entire movie was made off of, like, a paragraph, maybe 2 paragraphs, and, like, a ballad. In Tolkien's work, and then they took it and they made her into an anime heroine. Like, she is hands down just a seinen anime hero, and it's perfect, and it is anime ass. It's just like
it's Lord of the Rings. Thank
Lord
you
Lord of the Rings.
They didn't send you an anime hammer, they sent you a Lord of the Rings hammer.
I still haven't gotten that hammer,
Matt. What constitutes an anime hammer
exactly?
I will say
title.
I will say one of the things that I have liked is I think because of social media, we all have brands. I do mm-hmm. think that I have cultivated a brand, I think, of what I like that
okay.
isn't just weeb.
Yeah.
So that is what I hope people
It's also hot people.
It is also hot people. It's also hot people, possibly cannibalism, and like maybe sexy time.
Have we talked about, this isn't a recommendation because I'm sure you've seen it. Have we talked about Raw? French cannibal film?
That Raw, we have not talked about Raw, but Raw makes my skin crawl. And I actually had to look away in that episode, in that series.
All I remember was watching it with friend of the podcast, Ryan. And at one point me shouting, that's not yours. Put it back, spit it out. Because I just couldn't process what I was seeing.
Also accurate for Luca's film Bones and All, which is probably one of my favorites from that year.
Mm. But okay, also one that you were like, I'm not looking.
Yeah, well, no, that one I looked. Look, if you want cannibalism recommendations, I got them for you. None of them have Armie Hammer.
Ideally, yeah.
Ideally. We want fake cannibalism.
Okay, so to bring this back on the rails a little bit, not that I didn't love that entire detour. When you get a recommendation, are there... Now, obviously, for Matt, you laid out some of your hurdles. Is it anime? Have you told me too many times? Do I actually care?
I think, do I like you? I think it is also like very specific. Yeah. Are you within the circle of friends where Matt likes you enough to take your word?
I don't think people realize... and me and Kate, and it's probably given away more things and probably should have. Me and Kate have played a game. More or less, I played a game and Kate just kept score for me. I've learned to watch people of how they talk on social media or just speaking to them. And I like to guess whether they like a movie or don't like a movie. And I've got it down just from how people talk. Pretty good. I'm probably about like shooting about 87th percentile with people.
You should just start a spreadsheet. Just track it.
I know you like data. I'm
not wrong. That's my recommendation.
When Kate tells me, like, well, you need to watch. And Kate says, you need to watch this. And I'm like, cool. But I know what this person thought. And they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, you know what it means.
If he liked it, I'm not going to like it.
Yes. If she didn't like it, I might like it. If she liked it.
Here's the thing. I feel like Matt is actually making this a social thing way more than either of us do. Because he's like analyzing it.
No,
and I'm like, this is not how I think about things.
No, he is. But I will say, though, I think to Matt's point, while slightly hyperbolic in his execution, is how people do rely on critics to make recommendations, whether it's video games.
But these
movies,
people aren't even critics
music.
Half the time. That's the worst part.
I know. That part's
bad. But there are people who they find a critic and they're like, ooh, I like their recommendations.
Yes.
If they said it's a good game, I will spend the money blind.
And there are some critics where it's like, what is it? The best Disney's ever been. The MCU's back. And that is exactly what they say every single MCU movie. You know that you can throw their thing out.
Except this latest one. Everything I've seen on Blue Sky.
See, and there were a couple of critics who did say the MCU is back. And you know not to follow them.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I feel like the consensus I saw from literally everyone else. Oh no, my camera's doing the thing again. I'm back.
Welcome back.
I feel like this one I've just mostly seen people like dunking on it, and I'm like, so there is a consensus.
Yes.
And then I see somebody post, like this, we're so back, and it's like, no, we're not.
No.
Also, I feel like we're so back has just become an ironic phrase at this point.
It's like I'll add it to my list, man. My list. Like, we're so back. Texas is back.
I feel like I see like delusional fandoms who are just like, oh, here's a scrap of a hint that we might be getting more of this like show or story. And I'm just going to post it and say, we're so back. And it's like, we're not back. We're never back.
We're never back. You were never here sometimes.
It's like how the Arkham Asylum Batman subreddit just evolved into shitposting because there's been no new games in a decade.
Got to keep it up to date. But no, I mean, I don't know if that's fair. I mean, it is interesting doing a social stuff. But I mean, the funny part is everybody says watch stuff to form your own opinion, which one is a lie and kind of they don't understand when they do say it. You devalue what critics and other people do say at the end of the day. And so, but it has been, I've just learned to look at people and kind of see what they like, what they don't like, how they follow, what this seems to be the trend of what movies and everything else. And I make an evaluation on, you know, whether I think they would like it, whether they wouldn't, and most likely whether I would like it or not. I mean, I guess it's more social, I guess, than other people. But I mean, at the end of the day, the act of making a recommendation at some point is social.
Oh, it's incredibly social.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, there are people that like, I mean, I know I don't know if we kind of got into it, but like, I don't make often that many recommendations, but there are people that like, I don't even know you. And you're like, I'm going to recommend it to you. And I'm like, please don't. I don't know you.
Which I also think is a big thing. If somebody's eyes gloss over the moment you start talking about something, just stop. Or intro with, do you like X genre? I say this, and I think this happens in the video game space more than anything. The number of times I have had men talk at me, I don't believe to me. I don't even know if these are recommendations, but just talk at me about different Final Fantasy games or any other Japanese-made RPG, I have questioned why they are so invested in Japanese RPGs. Like, I actually look at you more sideways than the weeb person wearing, like, the all pants with, like, hentai eyes on them. Like, it is a level of, like, detail that somebody will dive into, which, like, I also, like, if you mention, like, Aragorn or Numenor in front of me, I'm gonna activate and become really annoying and get very specific and drive everybody in the conversation away. Matt has seen that happen at a party before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never treating it like a recommendation. And I think that that's like the hard thing. Like, I feel like there's a lot.
Enthusiastic conversation.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, I did that literally 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Something came up about Ninja Turtles and someone was like saying things that they were like, oh, did you know this, this, and this? And it was like something we were watching on our TV. And I was just like, yes, I knew this. That's not accurate. Like this. And Kelsey was like, why are you like this? And it was like, they hit my special interest and I know all of these things.
Which I think is like, that's a firm separation that I think we all, including myself, need to get better at doing. Where it is like, is it a special interest? Has your hyperfixation been activated? Or are you making a thoughtful recommendation based on the thoughts of somebody else?
That's, yeah. Man, that, what a...
Sociology what a good introspective with the but why
thing
though,
to ask of myself.
You mean you don't want to know that Numenoreans live longer than average humans? No? Okay.
So I'm assuming everybody here then recommends things quite often, I guess.
Yes.
Not all the time, but I will recommend things. Or if someone's like, oh, I just finished X, what do I do from here? And I'm like, oh, I actually am, like, if I know something, I will try to lend that knowledge if I can. I don't really make it a habit of going online and just recommending random things to random people on Blue Sky. Or, I mean, I didn't even do that back in the Twitter days, but like, to people I know, I will recommend things, but it's that social thing. It's, I know you, we've been friends for 10 plus years. I'm pretty sure I know if you're going to like a movie or not. So maybe I do it a decent amount, but in a small circle, I guess is how I would say it.
I give people information, and then there are very select things that I will say, you need to watch this or I won't like you. And that is about how my recommendations go.
Kate, do you do a lot?
I get tagged into a lot of posts on Blue Sky, actually, which makes me feel good to recommend stuff, especially when it comes to anime. I think that that's like the one thing that I'll get tapped in by a lot of people. Some that I didn't know knew me like that. I think my favorite thing is when I do find some of my favorite genres that I think have kind of fallen by the wayside or come to mean a specific thing when I know that's not what they are. Like the other day, one of my mutuals online had said that, like, hey, I want to watch a Western. But I'm having a trouble deciding what. Got any recommendations? And I led with movie or series. And then I was like, okay, cool. And I broke it down into, like different parts of Westerns, like spaghetti, traditional, and then gave some movie recommendations and some show recommendations because I really want everybody to watch The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which is one of the best spaghetti Westerns by one of my favorite Korean directors. The Harder They Fall, Horizon Part 1, The Place of Bones, all vastly different movies. And then Song of Bandits, which is a Korean Western TV series. Dark Winds, which is a Native American Western TV series on AMC. Warrior, which is a Chinese American versus Irish versus like larger white culture in San Francisco Western, and American Primeval, which is brand new, which is a lot of words to say. I think that there are certain genres that I think get smashed down into, like, for Westerns, just John Wayne. And I think that they have moved so much that I hope people who want to explore them or want to watch them can take, like, see some oddball ones that adhere to the genre very well, but may not be on your traditional list. So, like, I get joy from doing that. So, yeah. I am the person on the internet who jumps into your thread and tells you to watch things.
Something I didn't even consider when I was prepping this is the, to put a dramatic phrase to it, like the honor of being asked for a recommendation,
yes,
where it's
it
like,
feels
the, it's
nice.
The closest you get to being a librarian,
yes!
To be like, oh, my knowledge can be put to use.
Nobody has ever asked me for a recommendation.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to ask you for a recommendation because it's a running joke on the show at this point, going back years. If you were to recommend to me a weather disaster movie, what would you recommend?
Oh, like an actual good one?
Like just one that you really enjoyed, that you are like, this is like just an accessible, fun action weather disaster movie.
Most of them aren't good. They're a very select brand of what you need to like watch.
Good in the way that they are good, not good in the conventional sense of film.
I always like to go back to, like, I think it's like Metal Tornado, which is wild.
I haven't heard of that, but I love the name. Now I'm also a little scared.
Yeah, they end up doing like weird electrical and becomes like a giant metal tornado and stuff. And then
this is a real movie.
Did you think I was giving you a fake movie?
Lou Diamond Phillips? Matt, I'm going to take this recommendation to heart and I'm going to watch it. And now I'm going to rerail the show.
It is one, not good. But Netflix for a long time, which sucks because it's been a little while now, but Netflix had a good peak where they just did a bunch of B-rated, mostly from Australia, like disaster movies. And I watched like every single one of them.
Awesome.
Or Canada.
And is that where this came from? Or
Yeah, it's from 2011. I watched it on Netflix one time a long time ago. Probably not even on there anymore. It's hard for me to watch them now because they've made them so like somehow worse, and I didn't think that was possible. In the integral parts of what I enjoy about them, which is I need the science to be ridiculous but plausible. And okay. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but I guess as a person who actually has multiple degrees in science, it made sense. So.
Well, so how do you feel about that scene in Day After Tomorrow where they're running down the hallway escaping the cold and then they shut the door and the cold stops?
Yeah, like that's like a ghost.
Or like the gas lines freezing over, but the people still being able to move.
I don't mind that movie, but it's not great.
It's not. The science really doesn't hold up. The thing that killed, like... The gas lines part, I'm like, whatever, it's for the drama. The running down the hallway to escape the cold ghost and then shutting a door and it magically stops was like, what are we doing here? Like, what is this?
Yes, which obviously you'll watch this movie. It's going to be ridiculous. You're going to be like, this is dumb.
I love it. I'm excited for it.
I feel like the bending in science that Matt accepts is a dog pooping north, but not stopping the cold from chasing you.
Which is also in a movie, which was terrible. That movie was actually pretty bad. Where somebody tried to explain that they found north because a dog always faced north when they poop, which is not an actual fact. And then somebody died because this woman was so eager to make out with this dude while they were in a cave. And then she got
so
dagged by a...
I will say, though, the thing for me that I like is that Matt has certain genres of movies, like natural disaster movies, that he knows very well. And I think everybody in the world should trust his opinion on them for the most part. So, like, if I said, Matt, I would like you to recommend a Korean action movie to the audience listening right now, he would have a very good recommendation. I don't know what it is, because it changes on which one's his favorite every now and again. But, like, what would you recommend?
I mean, I guess it depends on, like, what have you seen before and what do you want? I mean, because that's the problem why I ask. Because in the day, depending on, we have flattened so many genres and we've flattened so many things. And to be fair, I don't even know, some of them are all Korean or some of them might just be a different Asian movie, to be honest, that I could not, I mean, there's a ton of them that I like. I can name them if you want me to, but it turns into like, will you like them? I don't know.
Can you remind me the name of that one with the really cool motorcycle chase that no one knows how they filmed it?
The Villainess.
Yeah, I knew it ended with an ESS, but I couldn't remember the
reason
first
word. I said that is because I don't think Matt has watched The Villainess.
Oh,
I think that one was hard to find.
It was.
When I tried.
Yeah.
I tried to actually go find that to watch it, and it was like not accessible. And then I just lost interest because it was not accessible, and I moved on.
That's fair. And that goes back to the hurdles thing of like sometimes when someone's like, you should check it out, I'm like, how? And they're like, well, you're going to have to go to a movie rental store and find it. And well, we have those here, and I can do that, but like...
I'm not doing that.
That's not necessarily how I want to spend my time.
Like, that's also why I really do take pride in the recommendations that we do offer on the site. There's an entire category called But Why the Recommends. But it is because we make it a necessity to pick stuff that you can watch and actually find and then tell you where to watch it. Because I think that that's really how you get people involved. But I also think, to Matt's point, and the reason I bring up Korean action, is that my litmus test for what I can recommend people a lot of the time is, have you seen Old Boy? Did you like Old Boy? The reason that's a litmus test is because a lot of my favorite action movies and a lot of my favorite horror movies are mean. Old Boy is mean. It's a specific type of mean that I don't believe American filmmakers embrace a lot. And it's probably one of the like really prolific crossovers from an international film into the American audiences and like pop culture in general. So I think that like for me, one of the ways that I've found to recommend people things is to have like a litmus test for certain genres. Like if somebody's like, recommend me a horror manga, and I'm like, have you read Berserk? Because I'm like, Berserk is pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Were you okay with reading that? Because we'll go from there.
Yeah, how did that feel? It honestly, this is, there's a scene in the movie That Thing You Do where guy asks the concierge at the hotel, where can I go to hear good jazz? Like, that's what he, all he wants is, what, like, where's a good jazz club? And the guy's like, okay, who played trumpet on this album? Like, who did this on, and like just starts like kind of quizzing him to be like, I need to know where your bar is to make a recommendation of where you can go to get what you're after. And yeah, I think that I can support the litmus test and like the having a few like familiarizing questions before you actually recommend anything.
And I think that's how you don't get the response, I'll add it to the list. Because I think, so I've been thinking about it as we've been talking about it, is like, I think if the only response back you give is I'll add it to the list or a variant on that, the chances that it isn't genuine are very high. But if there are follow-up questions and then I'll add it to the list, or if I'll add it to the list and then like, where can I watch it? Or like, it can never just like, I'll add it to the list cannot exist by itself. It has to have other things around it to, for, in my opinion, to know it's genuine. And I also think it depends on what you bring to it. Cause I think if we treated recommendations, like if you went up to a bartender and told them to make you something, the first thing they say, they're going to ask you what you want, like what you
like. What do you like?
And so it's kind of like, if you ask somebody for a recommendation or you give somebody a recommendation, I think it's important to kind of be a little bit of a bartender.
Yeah. I would say actually do that, that survey, that just very basic fact finding. Because I hate recommending things to somebody that they have watched or that they know is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, when it comes to recommendation stuff, which I think I've talked on the podcast before, of like, there is so much content out there all the time that, to be honest, like, part of the reason I probably don't take recommendations as much anymore, if there's so much content, I don't really need to care about other stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm not wasting my time on mid. If it doesn't look interesting or appealing at all or fit exactly what I'm looking for, then guess what? I will watch something else. I will play something else. Mm-hmm. There are so much stuff, and there's so much random stuff, and I'm not saying you shouldn't try new things, and you should, but it is just like, I don't know, taking recommendations always just feels weird to me, and I just don't, for the most part, like it a lot of times. Like I said, and then come to like, most part, I don't think, it's not, because I think we have people who genuinely, you're intrigued to know, because I've asked for recommendations every now and then, but it's usually from somebody that I want to know, looking for a very specific thing.
Yeah.
And I think outside of that, for me, anything else is just going to be noise, because it's like, you don't know what I like. You probably don't care what I like. It's probably something for you. It may not even be something, even type of genre, type of whatever that I even like or play. It may not be anything, and so it's just like, this was just a waste of time for me.
Yeah, I think it's the conversations that people have where it's like, I'm recommending something, but really I'm just telling you what I've been watching lately.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's like that's a tough one. I like my coworkers and I work in IT, so everyone's a nerd. And we will all play a game and be like, I want to recommend this, but none of us just jump into like a group chat like, hey, you guys should go play this. Like, we will message each other and be like, how do you feel about this genre? And if someone says they like it, we're like, cool, let me tell you about what I just played. And if they're like, I've never touched it, it's like, all right, if you get interested, let me know, I have some recommendations, but like, not here, because you don't like it. Like, I'm not gonna not going to give that to you.
Now, I will say, if I know you are a trash can and you like either trash or you just watch or play everything, I will give you recommendations to try to help you, because I feel like you just need to stop and help yourself.
Help people establish standards.
Yes, like people that are like, oh, I went and saw like Madam Web instead of Godzilla Minus One. Like, yo, you need clearly some help here.
That should have been a double feature. Yeah, I agree.
No, no, it should not have. And so I'm like, no, you need to like, let's see if we can help you get better. I'm like, oh, I know what you like at the very bottom and what you would tolerate or even spend money on. And I'm like, no, we can do better than
so
this.
So I have seen a lot of things. I have seen Matt activate, and a lot of the times this happens when you mention a sub-mid action movie.
That, I mean, I get that, because if someone's like, oh, like this, I mean, it's...
Or Fast and the Furious.
It's the fast food, like, burger, where someone's like, oh, this is my favorite fast food burger. And people are like, what the hell are you talking about? That's the worst one.
It's
like,
me with tacos.
Yeah, like it's I'm not saying that tacos are bad. I'm saying that those are bad tacos and there are better tacos and I want you to have them.
Yes.
Help yourself. I will say, like, I think my favorite recommendation spree I went on, because every now and again I'll watch a show or something and I will go on a recommendation spree on the website. My favorite thing has been for like international series that take off. So like with Squid Game, one of the things that happened is two very prolific actors, Lee Byung-hyun and Gong Yoo, like, they kind of, people loved them. One, they're hot. But two, they're very talented in that show. But because they're international actors, a lot of people may not know what they could go watch them in or what they can see or the type of range that they have, whether it's film or TV. And I think that those, I did a list for both of them and then as well as Wi Ha Jun. And it was, I like those because I feel like to Matt's thing, I think that Hollywood is very stifled and stifles people when it comes to seeing things. And I just want people to have better and good actors.
Yeah.
So, and also the funny part about what Kate just says is I don't care if you tell me who's starring in a movie a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they have, like, there are clearly people like The Rock who have never done anything else in their life. And there's clearly people that do a lot of stuff and they have some range. I know range seems to be a hard thing these days, it feels like, and I could be wrong. But I don't think I am, by the way. But to say the point of people have, you know, actors and actresses, they all are in different range, which means I may like you in this movie and I may even think you're a pretty good actor. It doesn't mean I'm going to go watch this other movie for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't go in on the, like, I'll watch anything with X or like, I'll listen to anything that this person makes.
No.
That's fair.
I think the closest you could get would possibly be Tom Cruise, but you could argue at some point he's just making Mission Impossible movies right now, and that's why I'm here.
That's all Top Gun Maverick is, really.
Is just a new Mission Impossible.
But to be fair, it is, had to drag me to that movie because I did not care to see it because I do not like the first one.
I think directors, you can get away a little bit more. With the exception of Ridley Scott and Steven Soderbergh, who have a filmography that makes no sense. Contagion to Magic Mike. Wild, Mr. Soderbergh. Wild.
There were some Cajuns needed.
Matt.
I hadn't thought about Ridley Scott, but yeah, absolutely. There's just so much variance there. But yeah, so I guess the next question here is kind of, like, we've talked about what we do when we get recommendations or, like, why we recommend things. Do you guys ever do, like, a follow-up if someone actually takes your recommendation?
If I give you a recommendation, I will ask you pretty much every 24 hours until you tell me you will not watch it. And then I will never recommend you something ever again and not take you seriously.
That makes sense. I've definitely, like, I've had people say, watch this so we can talk about it. But then when they come back to talk about it, they're just like, wasn't it so good? I'm like, this isn't a conversation. This isn't, like... Like, this is not the follow-up that I wanted. And so I go personally kind of hit or miss on whether or not I want to do those follow-up conversations, because I'm like, if we're not wanting to have the same intensity of conversation about this thing, then it's not going to be fun for me.
Well, I'm with you. If I do want that conversation, I particularly will recommend something and tell somebody, like, I want you to watch this, but I want you to see X, Y, and Z, and I need to know your opinion on X, Y, and Z. And then if you're not going to bother, and it's almost like to me of like, I'm not even recommending to you to know whether this is good or bad or you should watch this or not. This is me wanting to know what your insight is on the this type of stuff, which I don't even know if that's even counts as necessarily a recommendation at some point, like almost like whatever. But
I think recommending with the intention of a conversation is more like, hey, join me in this. Like, I want to talk about it and I trust you to have a good informed take on it. Versus just, that's kind of another question is like, it's not just entertainment that cheapens like all media, but like, you are just kind of like, hey, here's how I think you would enjoy passing a few hours. And so there is that question of like, what is our motivation in recommending this stuff to people other than like wanting them to have a good time because we care about them, or a bad time, like we talked about with some movies where it's like, hey, this is going to wreck you. You should watch it.
Yeah, I feel like I like to catch people when they're in their moods. Like if I see you're posting about X type of movie, I want to catch you in that mood. And I want to do something for you. I will recommend you I Saw the Devil, and then you can just lay gutted on the floor and we can appreciate that that happened.
Yeah. that makes sense because you want to like help people lean into it. You're a married couple. You know the drama of like, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? What sounds good? Does this sound good? I definitely get that. Like, I want to catch someone where I know where they're leaning, and then I want to push them.
Yes, exactly. I want to toss them into the pit where they cannot get back out, and now I've created a new fan.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Also, I want to go back to Matt, something that you had said of like, there's too much good stuff and there's algorithms, and like that, like part of the fact of this is like, we do,
I will correct
things
it.
Recommended.
Matt did not say there's too much good stuff. Matt said there's,
oh, that's
too
true.
Much
he said there's
stuff.
Too much stuff. That's true. I guess I assumed he meant like there's too much good stuff to watch bad stuff is kind of how I took it.
No, there's too much stuff to watch mid stuff at this point. Bad stuff. Yeah.
That's true. Like there's so much stuff that like you should look for good things. And we already have like streaming services like pushing recommendations, and sometimes that's just Netflix trying to pump numbers. Sometimes that's just, you know, hey, we saw you watch 3 horror movies, here's a 4th one. But how do you guys like square that and then like the personal? I mean, obviously I think the personal recommendations we would all to some degree value a little bit more for what someone's trying to do, whether or not they are good at recommending things. It's like, you're doing this because you care about me. Netflix is doing it because they want me to watch.
So the funny part is, I'm going to go first. I trust Netflix's recommendations over people.
Okay. I should say yes. I think I can trust the algorithm a little bit more. I think I care more when it comes from a person, though.
I don't know
if I do.
Not
that it's necessarily a good recommendation, but I appreciate that this is somebody who's like, hey, I think you would enjoy it.
But I don't think most people want me to enjoy it. I think they want me to enjoy it so they feel better.
Interesting. Do you have more on that? Because I want to hear more on that.
No, I genuinely think a lot of times, at least it comes, feels like when it comes to recommendation, people want to recommend things that they like, and they like to spread the stuff that they like. Mm. And we make the joke all the time of like, the people are the marketers. Well, they're doing their marketing job by trying to convince their friends and everything to go watch stuff that they like. And so either A, they can have more conversations about it, or B, they can, more people can enjoy it. And then C, if they both get both of that, then maybe they'll, the streaming whatever gods we want to call them of Misfit, roll in the box, whatever toys, they'll give you more. And so I genuinely don't think there's actually a lot of time for the most part. I'm not gonna say everybody because that's just wrong. But if I had to take it, I would say 3 out of every 4 recommendations I get. Actually, I'd say probably. Actually, I'm gonna go with 4 out of 5 every recommendations I get. I would say it's for somebody that wants to recommend something that they like and that they believe would be good, and that I may like, and they think that this thing is so good that I will like it more so than I.
Yes.
This is something that fits me.
I trust Netflix or another streaming platform's recommendations because I, like Matt, like things and keep viewer histories. And a lot of the reason I like that is because there is a better chance that those things will tell me something I haven't even heard of versus, and this literally just comes from watching a lot of things versus talking with somebody. And unless it's something really old, chances are I have already watched or seen it. I think it's different with games But even then, like, I have the genres I like. It's very hard to recommend me stuff outside of those genres. And yeah. I think
you need like the indie game gremlin friend to get things that you haven't heard of.
Yes. Like, and I would love one. Like, give me a connoisseur that, like, I say, give me a, like, give me a good puzzle game. Like, give me a good horror puzzle game. And then you can reach into your bag of, like, indie tricks and pull out one that I haven't heard of. But mm-hmm. I think with film and TV, it's a little bit harder because I feel like I end up in the person that's doing that for other people. So I prefer, like, my streaming services to give me those recommendations because they're going to pull something that I haven't seen.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also something to consider when someone recommends something to you is like, well, how deep is their bag? Like,
yeah.
What are they working with to recommend from?
How many have seen Boss Baby and then say Boss Baby again?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying then Boss Baby 2.
Is there even a 2? There is a 2.
I have no idea.
That's what I said. I didn't know if there was actually a 2 at first.
I get what you're saying, where it's like, well, I know that this person sees like one new movie a year, so if they're going to recommend something to me, I've probably seen it or heard of it. So yeah, that does get kind of tricky. And I think that going back to, Matt, your point about like they're recommending something that they like and that they think I might like, and that sort of... Like, I mean, I get why that's, I mean, where people have to start from is like, I'm not going to recommend something that I hated. But there is that question of like, well, why are you recommending it? Is it like to promote the art, like going to the free advertising thing? Are you recommending it because you genuinely think that person is going to like it? Are you looking to build out common ground with that person of like, we both enjoy this thing, now we can talk about it? Like, I had a coworker who recommended a Yakuza game to me and I hadn't played him before. And it's like, cool, now that's a thing that we talk about because I took his recommendation seriously because I knew a lot of other games that we both liked. And now that's just a part of our friendship. It's just like, yeah, we both like the Yakuza games and we talk about them because you made a good recommendation.
Well, the funny part is
he recommended that based on he loves that franchise and he thought I might like that franchise.
I think the funny part for me is I recommend things to people, like, there are times that UK can attest, I recommend things that I don't like to people, I feel like more than I like to people.
Mm.
Because there are, I know I am very particular with what I like, depending on the mood, depending on how it goes, what I'm looking for, how I feel it is, that very much, like, I will gladly not like something and recommend it to somebody. I think some people, I don't know if they like that, if that's better or worse. I don't mind. I know Kate has not liked things and recommended stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, it goes back to what I said earlier. Like, at some point, you do gauge what people like, and then a part of what they like is they also dislike. And so, yeah. Like, gauging, like, what your friends like and dislike, and I think that's a problem we have with sometimes with that concept of recommendations, and
mm-hmm.
we can have a conference another day of, like, the macro scale of things of there's a like and dislike to everything. There's both good yeah. and bad mm-hmm. to everything. And so it's very much of, like, there's plenty of movies and shows I've watched that I've been like, this sucks. I think you'll like it. And some people might get offended by that. And you know what? Sometimes yeah. they probably deserve it. And other times it's just like, that's what they like.
You're also not necessarily recommending it out of malice. You're saying this was super not for me and I hated it.
But
I
know that this has things you would like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I know what checks your box.
I think one of the best examples I had recently was somebody, and this is based on a negative, right? It wasn't something that I disliked because I like all three of these movies, but it was based on a negative where somebody said, I didn't like Train to Busan. And I said, why didn't you like Train to Busan? I was like, why? Like, I just really don't like zombies. Like, I think zombies are dumb. I don't, like, this does not make sense.
Then
I don't want to watch
this. Train to Busan?
Somebody made them watch it. And
oh,
I was
okay.
like,
my first question.
And to be fair, it's why I don't like that movie as much as Kate does. Now that I think it's a bad movie, but I just don't care because I don't like zombies.
Yeah. Well, and so that was boring. The thing. And I found out that they didn't like zombies. But I'm like, oh, but like, they're really good, like, train movies. So, like, my second question was, like, did you like the idea of something happening on a train? And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, do you like something that's like contained? Do you like action? And they were like, yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Go watch Bullet Train. Go watch Kill. And if you want some sci-fi, go watch Snowpiercer. And they're like, oh, those are movies grouped by train that don't involve the yeah. zombies that you didn't like from the thing. So I know that it's not exactly what we're talking about, but I think, like, to Matt's point, not everything is going to be perfect. Like, the world isn't full of tens. But yes. if you can hone in on what you dislike about something or that you like about something, you can match that media to different people. Like, Yeah. A good train watch list. Train to Busan, Kill, Snowpiercer, and Bullet Train.
This goes back to the idea of the stunt recommendation, where it's like, you didn't like Train to Busan for the zombies, but you didn't say you don't like it for the train.
Exactly.
So let me tell you some train movies.
And it sounds dumb, but like you can clue in, because then if somebody says, oh, I really liked this, okay, cool. What you really like is close quarter fighting. So let me give you The Raid, an Ascension action film where it is close quarter fighting. And I think that like the more you're willing to engage with, why did you make that face? The Raid is good. Do you don't like The Raid?
It's not bad. Matt!
That does it for this week. No. Go down your rabbit holes. Make stunt recommendations. You're probably gonna have more success with asking somebody if they like trains than you will like other things.
Oh, yeah. I think presenting information is a bigger part. I think the problem with recommendations. Yeah. I want information.
That's fair.
I don't want you to tell me whether you like a movie. I want you to tell me like what like either why did you like it or what is cool or what is bad or what is about. I don't need that's why I do think reviews are still valuable, and I do like stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
People should still read reviews. I know people say make your own opinion. I think you're dumb and you all waste a lot of money doing that and a lot of time, to be honest. But the point being is, what I'm trying to say is, I think I want information about movies or about games that make me intrigued. Because, like I said, you can do action. As we talked about here, same actor, same country, same genre.
Actually, the same dual leads. Like, Joe Tesla
yes.
and
Ico. Yes, I said, you tried to act like I was confused. Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure they're like, yeah. And I was like, Kate, tell me what I love to come for us. Didn't think it was that good. To be honest, kind of boring. They had like three good scenes. Cool.
It had good action, a meat fight, and a mean ending. I thought it was up
and then
your
like
alley.
Yeah, and then there was the rest of it slog.
It is a little slow.
Okay.
Anyway, point being of what I'm saying is, and I think that's where the hard part of like why I don't take as many recommendations and don't like them a lot of time, because it is very much of like not everything's the same.
Yeah.
And something just you can think they're the same. They can be a box. People have told me so many times, this is you. And I'm like, this sucked.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you want nuance and thoughtfulness to the recommendations that you get and the ones that you give. Like, that's really what makes a recommendation good. Is like, did you actually think about it? Or like I said earlier, are you just talking about the thing that you saw recently? Okay, so at the very start of this, I was like, hey, here's a weird folk rock album about pro wrestling. And I make that recommendation to no one unless it sounds good to you, because I recognize that that's a very specific weird thing. And John Darnielle's voice is a little bit divisive, I think, for some people. And so, like, I can put that on here and say, here's my recommendation, but it's not actually a recommendation. Now, if I'm talking to a friend who I know is a fan of pro wrestling and who has a soft spot for, like, storytelling songs and for folk music, then it might actually, because I actually did recommend this album to a friend. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is right up your alley. Like, listen to it. Tell me what you think. But I recognize that me saying it on the podcast is like the lowest form of a recommendation, because I don't know our listeners personally.
I mean, to be fair, and that's why I do think it, for me, it comes down to like, hey, I like this. I liked it by X, Y, and Z. You take with that information what you want. One, you should know something about what I said, as far as X, Y, Z part, or if I clarified and stated everything. But B, you should also know something about me who said all this. And so I figure from those two points, you should then be able to grasp where I feel like this is for me, this is not for me. Also, we didn't talk about it, but you brought it back up again of like, I will never recommend anybody music at all, because that is the one thing that just starts massive fights, massive crimes, massive judgment, massive everything. And I'm like, I just don't mess around
music
with music,
is too
man.
Personal.
I don't listen
music's
to music, never.
Personal.
I don't know what it is.
It gets pretentious, if I'm being honest.
No, it really does.
Like,
that's
I love
music,
and I love talking about it. It just gets pretentious.
No, I will never recommend anybody think. I don't even like playing my music. If we're in a car of six people, I'm not putting on my nothing.
Just put on the radio, put on NPR or whatever.
Not even doing it.
Me, I have accepted that I like what I like. This is my car. You're gonna listen to it.
No, I mean, no. The fact is, like, no, I will still do that, and I let Kate do that, and then I tell her this was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, honestly.
But whether they tell you or not, they're all judging you.
Oh,
the
yes.
One thing
100%.
I will learn, they may not judge you by what you play or what you watch. They will judge you by what you listen to.
We've now hit on a whole new episode idea, which is like, why do we take music so much more seriously than, because somebody's saying, I loved this TV show. And it's like, that if you watched all of that TV show, that's four whole days of your life. Like that, like mathematically, that is how much time you sunk into it. And we'll hear that and be like, oh, that's not for me, but that's fine. But if someone's like, I think this artist's best album is this, they're like, you're a moron.
Yes.
And yes. It's like, huh, why do we take that so much more seriously?
Yeah. Now we can get out of here. But no, I don't do anything with music. I've never listened to music. You don't know me. Music doesn't exist.
Yeah. I have a cousin who I asked, I was talking to him and his family about music and concerts that they'd gone to. And I said, what do you listen to? And his mom started laughing and she was like, none of us know what he listens to. And I asked his sister, I was like, is that true? And they were like, that is true. He won't tell us. He only listens to music with headphones. Literally no one in this house knows what he listens to.
He's listening to Hatsune Miku. This is what happened with my brother. Very specifically. My brother has not told anybody what he likes to listen to. Other than that, me and him are fighting over my dad's records. So there is a toss-up as to if he likes any of those bands or if he's just being a brat. My mom buys him different band shirts. Every year, he has said he does not listen to that band, with the exception of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And the Hatsune Miku connection is apparently he drove to Dallas, and I asked who. He would not tell me. I asked who, and he said Hatsune Miku. I immediately burst out laughing, and my dad Googled it, and it was great for me. So that person listens to Hatsune Miku. He misspelt it multiple times. I did not assist him in spelling it, so I didn't out my brother that bad. But yeah, it was great.
That's really good.
Take us out, Jason.
All right. Yeah. I think that does it for this week. If you liked what you heard here, and if you want more, we are on Blue Sky. You can subscribe and you can donate. Subscribe to the newsletter and donate by going to butwhytho.net/support. Everything that you give goes towards keeping the site going, keeping the podcast going, helping us to pay writers and to make the content that you enjoy and to get the reviews and the recommendations and the podcast nonsense where we go on 20-minute tangents about, God, I don't even know what the tangents were about this episode.
But Numenoreans having very long lifespans.
That's right. And whether or not it was an anime-ass Lord of the Rings story. But yeah, Kate, Matt, thank you guys so much for joining me this week. I had a really good time with this conversation. I hope you did too. And thank you at home for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye.